Something new is coming to the Diocese of Harrisburg. Because our journey to Christ as a family of faith is too important to leave to chance. Hi, I'm Melissa Molesky, Director for Laity and Family for the Diocese of Harrisburg, and I'd like to invite you to join us on October 18th for Behold, a conference for the family of God. Behold is the first intergenerational event where every member of our diocesan community, whether you are 8 or 80, single or married, new to faith, or deeply rooted in our Catholic tradition, will be engaged, challenged, and equipped together. This isn't just another conference. It's an opportunity to bring families, friends, and pew neighbors together intentionally, creating the connections we all need to thrive spiritually. Connections that last far beyond a single day. Nowhere else will you see grandparents and grandchildren be able to compare notes on what they learned about this year's theme of God's goodness. Nowhere else will you see parishioners meet new friends and reconnect with old ones. Nowhere else will you see whole families engage in a formation experience that doesn't require a babysitter. Real formation, real witness, real connection happening across generations simultaneously. The question isn't whether you have time for this. It's whether you can afford to miss the opportunity to see your family and your friends group grow in faith together. Behold is more than a conference. It's a call to behold God's goodness in one another. And we cannot wait to welcome you. Join us for Behold, October 18th at Holy Name of Jesus Parish in Harrisburg. For more information, visit hbgdiocese.org/behold.
And the happiness that you see in those parishioners when you come to their house, it's just like they're smiling. They're happy. They want to receive the Lord, and they are just thrilled that, you know, we are doing this.
Hello and welcome. My name is Rachel, and you're listening to episode 182 of Candid Catholic Convos, a show about Catholicism that enriches your faith, answers your questions, and meets you wherever you're at on your faith journey. I love that word, journey, because our faith never really ends. It follows us through all seasons of life. Some better than others, sure. I mean, there have been several instances in my own life where God and I weren't talking. But just like the seasons, it's bound to change. We talk a lot about meeting people where they're at. Isolation and loneliness is now considered to be an epidemic in this country, especially for those who are elderly, injured, or homebound. So how can we remind them that they're still part of the body of Christ? Today we'll be chatting with Sharon Fisher, an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, about the gift of spiritual communion and why she continues to participate in this ministry. But first, let's start with Scripture. Today's reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 26. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes again. Before we dive in, let's set the scene. It's the early days of Christianity in Corinth. We're in a small room dimly lit by oil lamps. The room is filled with a group of believers from various backgrounds, one of whom is the Apostle Paul, and he's leading this meeting. He uses this moment to recount the words of Jesus and remind the group of the significance of the bread and wine in remembering Christ's sacrifice. This group is participating in the Lord's Supper, and Paul is actually walking them through the fact that this meal is not merely a ritual. It's a profound spiritual experience that connects believers with the life, death, and resurrection of Christ. So now that we know where we're at historically and the importance of this moment, let's apply it to present day. I don't know about you, but I'm often distracted by the noise and busyness of everyday life. It's often easy to overlook the sacred moments. Here, Paul is reminding the Corinthians that this is a vital practice in connecting us with the core of our faith. He's calling not just the Corinthians, he's calling us, right here, right now, to remembrance, gratitude, and transformation, because each time we partake in communion, we're remembering the immense love and sacrifice that it represents. Communion reminds us that we are part of a much larger body, the body of Christ, in a society that often promotes self-reliance and individualism. It's easy to feel disconnected, especially from our faith. But partaking in the Eucharist brings us back together and reminds us to pause amidst the rush and truly reflect. Work and family demand so much. Take a second to recognize the ultimate sacrifice that fuels our everyday life, the reason we get to live the lives we live. Participating in communion is a gift, and it's one we get to open as often as possible. Today's Saint Spotlight is short, but powerful. Saint Tarsicius was just a young boy in 3rd century Rome, but his love for the Eucharist was anything but small. Tarsicius never preached a homily, wrote a book, or founded a religious order, but his silent witness spoke volumes, that the Eucharist is worth everything. In the early church, when Christians were persecuted and masses were held in secret, Tarsicius was entrusted with the sacred duty of bringing the Eucharist to imprisoned Christians. Even as a youth, he understood the unbelievable gift and power of the Blessed Sacrament, the real presence of Jesus. One day, while carrying the Eucharist hidden under his clothing, he was attacked by a mob who demanded he hand it over. But he refused, choosing to protect the body of Christ with his own life rather than let it be desecrated. He was beaten to death, clutching Jesus to his chest. He reminds us that reverence for the Eucharist isn't just for theologians or clergy. It's for everyone, even the young. In a world that often forgets the sacred, Tarsicius calls us back to awe, sacrifice, and a deep love for Jesus truly present in the Blessed Sacrament. Like St. Tarsicius, and inspired by the words of Paul, let's move on to our marquee topic, the gift of spiritual communion. I'm excited to introduce you to Sharon Fisher, one of our extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion at Holy Infant Parish in Manchester. Sharon recently retired from a motorcycle manufacturing plant and has found a unique way to combine her love of Jesus with her desire to serve, by ministering to those who cannot come to church to receive Jesus in communion. Sharon, welcome to Candid Catholic Combos. I'm really excited to have you here today.
Thank you, Rachel. I'm excited to be here.
So talk to me a little bit about what is an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion?
An extraordinary minister of Holy Communion is someone who helps out the priest or maybe if the church has a pastor and then maybe a deacon, they are helping to give communion to the parishioners who come, and they also help give, as I should say, it's communion. It's the body of Christ and the blood of Christ to the parishioners who come up the aisle. And we also help set up the altar, take the altar down, that type of thing. And one of the things we also, some of us do, is we actually deliver communion to the sick and to the homebound. And we also have a couple of parishioners who, by their choice, they enjoy going to the hospital and delivering communion to those that are in the hospital.
That's wonderful. And that's, I love that part of our theme for this podcast is we like to reach people wherever they're at on their faith journey. And sometimes that might mean that they are physically unable to attend church or they feel spiritually isolated. So I love that this being an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, you can do that. You can physically go to people. That's pretty incredible.
It is. We started this. So our father at the church was delivering communion, and along with one of the extraordinary ministers on First Fridays of the month. They had been doing First Fridays, and it came up in our parish council meeting that, you know, we need to reach out more. And how can we do that? So one of the things we had talked about was, let's bring the extraordinary ministers to bring communion to the home, to the homebound, to those that are sick. And we talked about it, and we have at our parish, it's over 20.
Oh, wow.
Extraordinary ministers of Holy Communion. And about half of those are willing to go out to the homes. Some of them may not be, only, you know, maybe an age issue, or, you know, they themselves, due to their age, how comfortable are they in maybe not going out and exposing themselves to, you know, someone who possibly is sick. So we talked about it, and we pulled everybody together and had a couple meetings. And we kind of just, you know, kicked it off back in, I'm going to say, March. And away we went. And the end of June, we were actually starting. That's when we got everybody, I'll say, up to speed, recertified with their training. And we actually then, did some training at church, a little bit about how it would be to go out to those that are in their home. And even, you know, I will say we pulled from the veterans who had more experience, such as, I'll say, Tony and Colleen Glucheski. They've been, you know, they would help out Father on First Fridays. So we kind of started, you know, I would say pick their brain a little bit, you know, because they had been doing this to some of those. So we just kind of started to, I'll say, knock on the door and let people know that we were going to come out and to do this. We put announcements in our bulletin that this was coming, you know, that we were going to expand the ministry to try to reach more. The joy and the happiness that you see in those parishioners when you come to their house, it's just like they're smiling. They're happy. They want to receive the Lord, and they are just thrilled that, you know, we are doing this. I have met all of those who we are delivering communion to, and I've actually taken the opportunity to go out, you know, a couple times to maybe do something even different for them, not just to be the extraordinary minister of Holy Communion. I like to garden, so some of them needed some help with their, you know, their bushes, their shrubs, or their flowers. So, you know, recognizing that they can't do that is something else that, you know, that I was able to do. And, you know, we can grow that within our own community too.
I love that you're able to use the other gifts that you have to kind of combine it into one beautiful gift that you're giving these people who can't make it to church. I think that's incredible.
Yes, it really is. Even one couple, Pat and Jim McCoy, we actually had a conversation about Catherine Emmerich and the visions that she's had of our Lord. And so we've actually shared some books with her, you know, to read, and we shared, you know, conversations back and forth. So it's fun. It really is. It truly is. It sets my heart up to, you know, with joy, just seeing them have joy. And I've even had a couple of the folks say, you know, with you being here, my heart, I just got this feeling over me of this light sensation, you know, and warmth coming over me as you, you know, gave me communion. And I know that some of our other parishioners, extraordinary ministers who've delivered to the parishioners have, you know, they've all said that they've gotten some warm feeling from the folks that, you know, there's someone there who's reaching out and caring about them also.
And I want to touch on something you said earlier about training and certification. Do you have to go through a period of training and certification to become an extraordinary minister?
Yes, you do. There is as I will call it, there's formal training that the diocesan offers. And you have to go through that training first, and then you have to recertify every 5 years with the formal training. In addition to that, at your parish, your local parish, the pastor, or if you have a deacon, they will actually give you some additional hands-on, which I call informal training. They'll give that to you so that you then can, you then understand what are the tools and materials that you have at your church, where they're at, so you understand how to set them up, how to serve. And then once you get started, you start looking at the other extraordinary ministers, as I'll say, you know, the old timers who've been doing it for a bit, because that's what I did. I would watch them because Deacon Joe Kramer knows it so well. And he just goes through it like that. And I'm like, oh, he goes, any questions? I'm like, no, I don't think so. I'm like, and I've got all these notes, you know, and so it's nice to then, you know, have him as that person you can rely on. And then also to follow your other peers and, you know, watch them do it. And then you get more comfortable and you're like, okay, I'm ready. You know, okay, I'll start. Yes.
I love that. Being able to follow by example. That's, I'm the same way, where like I need the formal training, but then I also need the hands on. Like I just need to watch somebody, or I need to like do it myself, and then I'm like, yes, okay, now I got it.
Yeah.
So what is the, for those who maybe have absolutely no idea, what's the purpose of the training? Why do we require our extraordinary ministers to be trained?
What's behind it is so that you understand, I would say, in the scripture of how Jesus, you know, had the Last Supper, and he gave to his disciples the body of Christ, the blood of Christ. He shared with them, and that was the first one, right? So then you have an understanding of the theory behind why this is done, how it's done, the practices that the diocesan has, and how they, you know, implement that, so that we have that technical background. And that's why I call that the formal. So you have that technical background. And I tend to be detail oriented. So in working with our team, I recognize that, you know, in listening and hearing folks, that some people, you know, they can see it and go, some people read it and go. So in talking with Father Dominic, one of the things that we have created is a supplement guideline. So that here's, you know, it's a little small text document with some of the photos of the materials that we have at church. So here's the chalice, here's the ciborium, here's the water and wine cruets, and here's how, you know, they're set up, so that you can have that as a tool to flip to if you're new, or let's say, you know, you've been on a vacation for 2 months and you come back and you might think you're a little rusty. And so you can quickly look at that as a guide with the photos to say, okay, here it is. So it's something that makes sure you understand the technical part of the training, so you understand the background of why that is important and where it came from. And, you know, obviously we know that it came from our Lord at the Last Supper, but through that, you know, span of 2,000 years, how did we get to where we are today? How did we get to be extraordinary minister of Holy Communion? Just even the name of extraordinary, the fact that the priests are ordinary and we're the extraordinary.
Oh, that makes sense now. You mentioned you had been doing this for roughly 2 years. What led you to pursuing this?
My mom was sick. My mom had cancer. And my uncle had actually, we were taking care of her in the home. We had brought her from the hospital to her house. And so we were taking care of her. And my uncle came over and he gave Holy Communion to my mom.
Oh, wow.
And my uncle had told me that, yeah, you know, the priests had been making it down for First Fridays and delivering communion to both my mom and my dad. And my dad at that time, my mom had cancer and my dad had dementia. So unfortunately, with her having cancer, we had to put my dad in a care facility for that. So it was seeing that someone else, you know, was taking care of someone who had a need. And granted, it was my uncle, you know, and it could have been, maybe it could have been anyone, but it also was more precious because it was my uncle, my, you know, my dad's brother, doing it for his sister-in-law. And so I'll never forget that. I will just never forget that. And so that's what made me think, we need to do this. There's someone else who needs this. There's someone else who wants to have the Lord and they just can't get there. And several of the, you know, the parishioners now that I've talked with, they talk about their knees, you know, that they can't, they just, with the pain of their knees, they can't do things. So, you know, they said, I want to come to church. I just can't because of the pain that I go through. So that's, I'll say it's those two pieces now, the one that guided me there and the one that's keeping me there, or part of keeping me there.
Yeah, that's really powerful, that because you can really, you get to see firsthand the impact that it's making. I think that that's truly empowering, and it's lovely to know that people like you are the ones who are interested with giving our Lord out to people to make sure that they don't stay, even if they're physically isolated, they're not spiritually isolated.
Yeah. And I do even ask them, you know, one of the things sometimes I'll say, do you want, you know, we have a script to go by. That's the blue book. It's, you know, communion to the sick. We have that to go by. And there's different readings that we can do. But in addition to that, sometimes, I don't know, something just will, I just pick up on something, you know, in their expression or demeanor. And I'll say, would you like to listen to the readings for the day? And so I have the Augustine Institute Amen app on my phone. And so I'll pull that up and do the daily readings with them, and they can just listen to it. And then, you know, which is really great. And then I try to pull into that, want to remember from Father or Deacon's homily, so that I can share that with them, so that they can, again, make that connection to feel as if they're part of the Mass, that they were there, that they, you know, that they got part of the homily.
I love that. That's again, just using that power of observation and that gift that you have to be in tune with people. I think that makes it so much more special for those who are blessed enough to have you come to their homes or to see you at church. Mm. I think that's so special. What would you say to somebody who's considering becoming an extraordinary minister? What is something that you wish you had known going in?
If someone's thinking of being an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, I would say run, don't walk. Run to be one, because what you put into it is one thing, but what you are also getting out of it, knowing that you are helping and serving others, and it's like the shepherd. We're being, the Lord is the shepherd to us, right? And so we are being the shepherd to those who cannot make it. So I think about that. So, you know, again, run. And also, I guess, I would, you know, for them, something else that maybe that I think of is just give yourself time. You won't, you know, it's okay to observe and say, I'm not quite ready, because you're thinking of the reverence of what you're doing, and you're holding the body of Christ, or you're holding the blood of Christ, and you want to do that very reverently. So it's okay to go slowly and make sure you're comfortable with it. And then, you know, just do it a little bit by little bit, and you'll be there. That's what I did. I think the first 3 months I just watched people.
That's sometimes the best way to learn. I love that reminder of, like, we don't need to be, like, rushing through it. We need to be, we need to be reverent, but B, like, don't be afraid to take your time.
Yeah.
Especially when you're new. It's something that I always need to hear. I'm like, just because you're new doesn't mean you're bad. You just need to take your time and learn and practice. And that's how we get it.
I think it's funny that as you get to, you know some of the parishioners, but because you're not an extraordinary minister of Holy Communion, you don't know that aspect of them. So once I became one, and everybody has, not maybe everybody, but there have been a lot where, yeah, my first time I did this wrong. You know, and then you say, I never did it wrong again, you know. And again, it was all learning. And so even when we started to do, you know, go out and to deliver communion to the sick in the home, there was that bit of nervousness too. And my thought, and what I've said to folks is, it's okay. Don't worry about if you think you did it, you know, something that wasn't, you know, exactly as I'll say, you know, I have it in the book. It's not about that. It's about delivering God to somebody. It's about bringing them that. That's what God won't remember. God doesn't, you know, worry that, oh, did I do this exactly in this order? God is very happy, and he's remembering that you stepped outside of your boundaries, your comfort zone, and you brought communion to one of his sheep.
I love that. Well, Sharon, thank you so much for sharing all of this. And I hope that anybody who's considered it before, or maybe is considering becoming an extraordinary minister now, is able to reach out to their parish and make it happen. Because it, just hearing you speak, it sounds so incredibly fulfilling. So I hope that somebody else has that experience as well.
I hope so, too. Yes, thank you.
And that's our show. Candid Catholic Convos is brought to you by the Diocese of Harrisburg, hosted and sound engineered by me, Rachel Trochet, and produced by Rachel Bryson. If today's episode resonated with you, please share it on social media. You can tag us using @HBGDiocese. Make sure you also subscribe on your preferred listening platform so that you never miss an episode. And if you'd like to support our production efforts, a donation to our diocesan annual campaign would benefit us greatly in continuing our ministry. Next week starts a brand new theme for our program as we explore how to live the gospel out loud. We'll be diving into saints and social justice, eco-consciousness, pop culture, and meeting some Catholic creators on the rise. So like, subscribe, keep praying for us, and we'll keep praying for you.
Something new is coming to the Diocese of Harrisburg. Because our journey to Christ as a family of faith is too important to leave to chance. Hi, I'm Melissa Molesky, Director for Laity and Family for the Diocese of Harrisburg. And I'd like to invite you to join us on October 18th for Behold, a conference for the family of God. Behold is the first intergenerational event where every member of our diocesan community, whether you are 8 or 80, single or married, new to faith, or deeply rooted in our Catholic tradition, will be engaged, challenged, and equipped together. This isn't just another conference. It's an opportunity to bring families, friends, and pew neighbors together intentionally, creating the connections we all need to thrive spiritually, connections that last far beyond a single day. Nowhere else will you see grandparents and grandchildren be able to compare notes on what they learned about this year's theme of God's goodness. Nowhere else will you see parishioners meet new friends and reconnect with old ones. Nowhere else will you see whole families engage in a formation experience that doesn't require a babysitter. Real formation, real witness, real connection, happening across generations simultaneously. The question isn't whether you have time for this. It's whether you can afford to miss the opportunity to see your family and your friends group grow in faith together. Behold is more than a conference. It's a call to behold God's goodness in one another. And we cannot wait to welcome you.
Join us for Behold, October 18th at Holy Name of Jesus Parish in Harrisburg. For more information, visit hbgdiocese.org/behold.